Truth Revolution.
And just like Dad said, this is Truth Revolution. Welcome. This is like that Mortal Kombat game where Faith looked at Reason and said, "Get over here," and brought him over. Right?
Never played Mortal Kombat.
Oh.
I'm sorry to disappoint
maybe
you.
Maybe I'm just old. I don't know.
I do know the finish him.
Yeah. But we never want to do that because there's no finishing that, right? We want to continue learning and growing bigger in our brains, right?
Are there many ways to heaven is what we're actually talking about today.
Yeah.
Not Mortal Kombat.
That was actually a question. That wasn't a statement. I didn't say yeah. I just said yeah. Sorry, Jeff, continue.
We don't like it when there's only one way. Whether it's one way to start a radio show or whether it's one way to, I was on top of my van watching 4th of July when I was a kid.
Uh-huh.
My parents told me to sit down. I didn't like the options they gave me. And so I walked around. I jumped off the back of the van, busted my arm all up. I still got scars.
Ooh, yeah.
Here. I had multiple surgeries. We don't like it when there's only one way.
Right.
My brother was driving a riding lawnmower one time. And he's looking at me up on the deck of our house. He's like, "Hi." And I'm like, "Watch where you're going." He's like, "What? Watch where you're going." Huh? And bam, right into the bird bath.
Right.
Knocks this concrete bird bath over. The lawnmower starts to drive up it, tilt over. Like there was only one way to avoid that, but he wasn't paying attention. We don't like it when there's only one way.
Right. Yeah, we like choices, right? It's like that whole the whole Burger King thing back in the 70s. It's where it all started. I'm sure it started way before that. But it's like, you know, the fast food thing. Have it your way.
Yes.
You can have it multi. You can have it any way you want.
That's right. Unfortunately, while you can have it any way you want with burgers, what we're going to say today is that we need to study and learn. Opinion is of no concern.
Right.
When it comes to things of weightier matters than burger choices. You know, whether it's scientific theories or an idea on climate change or religion, you can't just have whatever your opinion is.
Right.
And it's funny because, and I'll start out by giving this analogy here. A lot of people will say, well, no, look, God's too big for any one set of beliefs about God. Like God's too big for any one religion. What's weird about that statement, Dave?
Well, it's a religious statement.
It's a religious statement. I'm sure you've heard people say things like God's too big for any one religion. Maybe you even believe that God is too big for any one religion. But let's just analyze what you're saying when you say that, okay? That is a religious statement, right? God's too big for any one set of beliefs about God. But what is that? That is a belief about God. So you're saying my religion believes that God is too big for one religion. So you're saying that your belief is correct.
Right.
Meaning my religion says that God is too big for one religion and my religion is right about that. Meaning other people who disagree with me are
wrong. Right.
They're wrong. So you're saying my religion says that God is too big for any one religion and my religion is right and other religions are wrong about that. So, I mean, think about this. You're saying by trying to say that God is too big for any one religion and that there isn't just one way, you're saying my religion is the right religion and because it's the only religion that says God is too big for any religion.
That's not a logical statement.
That is not a logical statement, but there you have it. People say these sorts of things all the time. Do they not?
Right.
They really do. So today, we're going to get rid of that illogical statement that God's too big for any one religion, and we're going to put things to the test. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says this.
Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil.
All right. Now, the guy who wrote this, his name was Paul. Why did he write this? There were false prophets and false religions back in his day. So this is just wise. We want to test everything and hold on to what is good.
Right.
Test everything and hold on to what is good. So we're going to test it, study and learn. Opinions are of no concern. So we're going to start, we're going to talk about Jesus. We're going to analyze our own religion, Christianity, and we're going to see if there's a good reason to believe it or not. Dave, you ever heard of Hinduism?
Yes.
Okay. So Hinduism actually, a lot of people think of it as a religion, but really it's a broad range of religious beliefs.
Right.
The Upanishads are kind of their scriptures, more or less, and it contains the experiences of different Hindu sages. There was Bhakti Hinduism, right? And there says there is no God. Hare Krishna says there is no God. Right. There's Vedantin Hinduism, which is I think is an interesting one, says God is Brahman, okay, which is an infinite, immortal, imperishable, impersonal, all-pervading, changeless, and at the same time, none of those things type of goddess.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
I am, but I'm not. Kind of thing.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. And so that was, that's illustrated. There's a Hindu philosopher, Sankara, and in his commentary on the Upanishads, he was describing this and he tells this story. Sir, said a pupil to his master, teach me the nature of Brahman. The master did not reply. When a second and a third time he was importuned, the teacher answered, I teach you indeed, but you do not follow. His name is Silence.
I would be very confused in that religion.
I just have a hard time with silence. So it's that was Brabhavananda. I'm pronouncing that wrong. Mm-hmm. Brabhavananda, Spiritual Heritage, page 45. But Hinduism actually teaches everything doesn't even really exist. Okay. What you see, this video or this podcast you're listening to, it's all not real. It's just an illusion. Our world is a mist. So my first question, we want to study and learn, opinions are no concern, is there a way to test this to see if it's true?
Not really.
There right? is, no, I agree.
Maybe because it's like, I can't climb into your head. You can't climb into my head. Mm-mm. We can't see things from each other's perspective. And so I can't tell if what you're seeing is true or not. You can't tell if what I'm seeing is true or not. So it's really untestable. If you say that none of this is real, if it's not real, then how is it testable for one?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So if this doesn't exist, there's no way to test to see if it exists.
Right.
Or not.
So I'm not going to pay any more of my bills. And I'm just going to live the way I want.
I bet something will happen though.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. So it's not testable. You can't test to see if Hinduism's true or not. So true or false, we don't know.
Right.
We don't actually know. Buddhism, actually this is a branch off of Hinduism, is how it started, teaches that life is suffering caused by a desire for prosperity. A lot of people are influenced by Buddhism without even knowing it.
Yeah.
I was scrolling through Facebook this morning and one of my old friends posted this quote. You know, it said something like, the only thing that causes suffering in your life is the fact that you want things to be different than they are now. Stop having that desire. I'm like, well, she's reading Buddhism and mm-hmm. she doesn't even know
right.
it. Or maybe she does know it, but most people who see that quote probably have no idea that they're teaching Buddhism. Obviously, the problem I have with Buddhism is it's ridiculous to say that suffering is the one she was saying, was suffering is just an illusion
right.
and that you should just deal with it. I'm sorry, like if you're in an abusive relationship and you're suffering, you should get out of that right. situation.
Yeah, there's no illusion there.
Right, you can end that. That's not just they would call that a desire for prosperity, but that's, you know, you can end that. Anyway, mm-hmm. we're talking about our religion versus Buddhism now, but Buddhism really teaches to eliminate suffering, you have to follow the Eightfold Path. And the goal is nirvana, which is where you cease to exist. Yeah.
Sorry, that was my nirvana.
Do you think Kurt Cobain was a Buddhist?
I don't know. Maybe.
Well, I don't think he reached nirvana. His life did not end well.
Right.
But is this testable? Okay, the goal is to reach nirvana where you cease to exist.
No.
No way to... Nope. No way to prove that, nope. right? You can't really go to nirvana and then come back.
Right.
So is this true or false? Again, we don't know.
Right.
I mean, just looking at Buddhism on its own, you can't know if it's true or false. So let's talk about Islam. I know a lot of people have problems with the Islam as a religion today.
Right.
So you're going to think this statement is crazy, but Islam is actually closest to Christianity
right.
among these three. Islam believes in one God. You go to heaven by doing deeds such as reciting the Shahada several times a day. They're supposed to visit Mecca, different things like this. And at the end of your life, each person's deeds are going to be weighed to determine their final destiny. So how can we prove this?
You can't.
Again, you can't. It's not a provable belief right. system. So is it true? Is it false? Yeah, we don't know. I mean, you will find out when you die.
Mm-hmm. But that's not really testable, right? That's experiential if it's actually true.
Exactly. It's an experience, but you can't test it beforehand. Right. So we've talked about Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam. Now let's talk about good people going to heaven.
Yeah, just an overall general idea rather than any particular religion, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I went to this video store here mm-hmm. in Salina. There was this old guy back behind the counter, and we started talking about religion, and I gave him the gospel and told him about Jesus and told him what I believed was the way to be saved. And he got upset. His eyes filled up with tears. He said, "No, no, my dad was a good person and he went to heaven because he was a good person." And he wouldn't believe what I said, which was that we had to have faith in Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. that our deeds can't get there on our own. So, you know, what is he right? Is it okay to compare ourselves to other human beings? Who is good enough to get into heaven? Good people go to heaven. Who's good? Mother Teresa good, or is it just Hitler good? Like, what level of good right. gets you there?
Yeah, where do you draw that line at, right?
Right. So is this testable?
No.
Can't test this. There's no way to test and prove this is true. Someone right now is thinking, well, there's no way you can test any religion. That's where faith comes in.
Mm.
But that's not true.
That's true. That's not true. I was going to say, that's true. What you're saying is true. Yeah.
I'm right about that not being right.
Yes.
Christianity is testable. Mm-hmm. And this is why Christianity actually is in the most dangerous position, but also the best position. We began when Judaism had a leader named Jesus. Mm-hmm. He claimed to be the Messiah that the Jews have been waiting for. The followers of Jesus claim that Jesus died and resurrected from the dead, okay? Came back from the dead, and because of that, he is the way to salvation. Okay, the leader of a religion coming back from the dead and saying, "I've been there, I know what it's like. By the way, I predicted I was going to die and rise from the dead." So a leader predicting he would die and rise from the dead and then actually dying and then actually rising from the dead, just put all aside your preconceived notions for a second, put aside your challenges for just a minute.
Right.
If someone actually did it, and it wasn't a trick, if they actually predicted they would die and come back from the dead 3 days later, then they actually died, you knew they were dead, and then they really did come back from the dead.
See, now
that would be a strong argument.
Yeah, now we're getting somewhere, right? Because it's like physical, tangible proof, you know, what he said was recorded, what happened to him was recorded. And it's not just in the Bible. Things were recorded outside the Bible of Jesus and his followers. So
exactly. Yeah. And this is why Christianity is in the most dangerous position. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 19. What does it say? It
says, "If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men."
If no resurrection, the Bible says that we are to be pitied more than anyone else. Right. Why? Because we're out of luck. Mm-hmm. We're believing something that's fake and not true and dumb. So if there's no resurrection, Christianity is false. But if the resurrection of Jesus Christ is true, then Christianity is true.
Amen.
This is why I think this is the most important question. Did the resurrection of Jesus Christ happen or did it not happen? Does this make Christianity a testable religion? Yes, it does. You can test to see whether Christianity is true or not. You don't have to guess. It's not just on faith. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is an event that can be researched, studied. The students can come to a conclusion. This is either true or false.
See, and I think you really actually kind of hit something on the head just now. If you are a Christian and you don't study and you just take it on faith, where is your faith?
Oh man.
You know, it's God gave you a brain to use, so study and get to know. And that way you don't have to take it on blind faith, right?
Blind faith.
You can actually have evidence for what you believe.
I don't know where this crazy idea came that faith means having no evidence.
Right.
That's not how the Bible describes faith.
Right.
I mean, it says things like God showed up and talked to Abraham and said, "Go to this land that I will give to you." So Abraham believed God, and that was him having faith.
Right.
He believed because God showed up and told him to do it.
Right.
Right. Like a lot of these people put their faith in Jesus. Peter, John, these people put their faith in Jesus when they saw what Jesus did. They still had faith. Like, faith doesn't mean you have no reason to believe and you believe anyway. Faith means there's evidence. And so this is where I'm choosing to put my faith. It's a trust.
Right.
There's actually three different elements of faith. I'm not going to go over them right now, but most of them have to do with either your volition of your will and the thoughts in your head, what you believe to be true.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the Bible talks about believing something just as much as it talks about faith. right? Believe in your heart God raised Jesus from the dead and you will be saved, is what it says in Romans 10:9. So that belief is supposed to be based on evidence. Now, the good news is, we believe, Dave and I believe, yes, we can prove the resurrection is true. Now, if you want to hear how we do that, unfortunately, you're going to have to go to a different radio show that we've done in the past. Just go to our website, type in feat, F-E-A-T, F-E-A-T. The greatest feat in history was the resurrection. And so look up for that. There's so much proof that Jesus Christ really rose from the dead. But this is interesting to me today. What we're talking about is the other religions and whether or not a religion is testable. If Buddhism's not testable and Hinduism's not testable and Islam's not testable and just trying to be a good person is not a testable way to get into heaven, then wouldn't it make sense that Christianity is the only religion you can actually test? Wouldn't that make sense that this would be the very first place you start in your faith journey?
Right. But it's amazing how many people reject that just outright.
Yeah.
You know, a priori, without even taking a glance at it.
Yeah. And I read a lot of articles by atheists, and a lot of them talk about the dumb things Christians do and the dumb way Christianity has handled things, the religion itself. Mm-hmm. And I agree, we've done some dumb stuff, yeah, but the real question is, did the resurrection happen or did the resurrection not happen?
Right. I did some dumb stuff yesterday. That doesn't affect the resurrection at all, right?
That's exactly right. You know, so we're going to take a second and look at what the other religions say about Jesus mm-hmm. Christ. All right, Hinduism, what do they say about Jesus?
So Jesus was a Satguru, which is a true teacher or a reincarnated prophet.
Okay. Mahatma Gandhi famously said, I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians. You Christians are so unlike your Christ. Unfortunately, I think Gandhi was right about that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
There's a lot of Christians I have a hard time liking. Mm-hmm. Myself.
Right. Yeah. So I mean, you know, at the end of the day, you got to look at yourself in the mirror, right?
Yeah.
And good thing that we don't have to base our faith on our merits.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But Gandhi even recognized how awesome Jesus was. Mm-hmm. Okay. Hinduism teaches that Jesus was a truth teacher.
Right.
Buddhism actually says that Jesus was an enlightened one, a Buddhavista, right? They say he was enlightened. Islam teaches that Jesus was a prophet.
Right.
Even the general public say, hey, Jesus was a good man.
Right. What, yeah. I've talked to many people that be like, yeah, I like Jesus, I like what he taught. Then where's the disconnect here?
Yeah. So what's fascinating about this is every major religion, even the general public who don't have a belief mm-hmm. in religion at all, they all make a claim about Jesus Christ. Right. Every single one of them.
Yep.
Now we're interested in testable things today. Every single one of these people or things or religions make a claim about Jesus Christ. But the fundamental difference between Christianity's belief in Jesus and the others is that we believe Jesus is God on earth. On one hand, all views say Jesus was some type of good teacher mm-hmm. or person. And if they're right, Christianity is wrong, because if Jesus was merely a good teacher, if he was merely a good guy, if he was merely a prophet or enlightened, then he wasn't God, because we say he was not just those things. He was also God on earth.
Right.
John 14:6, Jesus said that, listen, this is huge. Jesus said this in John 14:6.
No one comes to the Father except through me.
Read that again.
No one comes to the Father except through me.
Okay, now study and learn. Opinions are of no concern. If Jesus really rose from the dead, and if Jesus really said that nobody can come to the Father except through him, then you've only got two options. Either Christianity's wrong, and Jesus didn't come up from the dead, and he isn't the only way to God, or Jesus did rise from the dead, and all other religions are wrong because Jesus said he is the only way.
Right.
Now, I know what you're thinking. Someone right now, I heard him, Dave. Someone right now just thought, well, yeah, but maybe the other religions could be true too at the same time. What do we start with today? When you say, well, I think God is too big for one religion, what are you doing? You're saying...
Making a religious statement.
You're making a religious statement.
Right.
And you're saying that I believe that religion or Jesus is bigger than any one religion. And so you're making a religious statement that is saying your religion is right and those other religions are wrong.
Right.
Thereby saying, I believe God's too big for any one religion, but you have just defined one religion and you fit God in that one. He says he doesn't fit in the other ones. That is an illogical, unfair assessment, especially when Jesus himself says nobody goes to God except through him.
Right.
either Christy, and I know we don't like only one way.
Right.
We don't like having limited options. But the reality is either Christianity is true. This is logical. This is scientific, for lack of better terms. Either Christianity is true and all other religions are wrong, or every religion is wrong. Because Jesus claimed to be God and said there was no way except him.
Right.
And they all think Jesus was a good guy or teacher. So they're either all wrong about that, and we're wrong too, or we're right about Jesus being the only way, which means that all the other religions are still wrong. You know, John 14, Jesus said this.
He says, "You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going. So how can we know the way?" Jesus answered them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him."
Okay, read verse 5 again.
Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way?"
How can we know the way? I love that beautiful question. Mm-hmm. All right, basically, I want to follow you. I want to go to heaven. But how in the world do I get there? Mm-hmm. And Jesus says, "I am the way." All right, literally, Jesus means, you want to go to heaven, like you have to go through me.
Right.
You know, imagine you were applying for a job.
Okay.
You sat down with a guy and you're talking to him, doing an interview, and you said, "Hey, can I talk to the committee who makes the decision about whether or not to get a job? Can I talk to that committee?" And the guy says to you, "I am the committee." What does that mean?
Right. It means you get that job through him.
Yeah. Like there's no other way. Mm-hmm. Like you either convince this guy you get the job, or he's not giving you the job. There is no committee.
Right.
Right. Thomas is like, "Hey, what's the way to heaven?" And Jesus is like, "I'm the way."
Right.
Like, you either come to Jesus or there's no other way around it. Jesus, and everyone's always like, "Oh, Jesus is so polite and so peaceful and so kind." Jesus is so exclusive. That's the reality. Yes. Jesus is so exclusive. He says, "I am the only way. There's no way to the Father except through me." And Thomas is like, "Man, we want to go to heaven. What's the way, Jesus?" He's like, "Me."
You're looking at him.
You look at me. Mm-hmm. You got to come to me if you want to get into heaven. You got to come to me if you want eternal life. Psalm 86, verse 11 says this.
Psalm 86, verse 11 says, "Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth."
And it continues. It says, "Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name." You know, the truth. What is truth? Truth is the essence of what God is. Truth is what we should desire.
Amen.
Truth is also what is accurate and real. Mm-hmm. And this is what Jesus is. Jesus says, "I'm the truth." All right, Jesus is the essence of God. Jesus is the thing that we should desire. And Jesus is reality. He is what is real, okay? Jesus is the embodiment of what true reality about God is. You know, in that verse, he also said, Jesus says, "I'm the way." He says, "I am the truth." And then he says one more thing. You remember what that is?
"I am the life."
"I am the life." Spiritual death is humankind's most dangerous poison. It is how we will face our ultimate demise. When Jesus says he's life, he's saying he is the resurrection and the restoration of the spiritually dead people, which is you and me. All right. And then he finishes up with this slam dunk. All right. So those statements, kind of like, imagine, you know, he's getting past some defenders. He's like, "I'm the way." Jumps to the right. "I'm the truth." Spins around. "And I'm the life." He knocks the defender over. And then he jumps up to slam it home. This is what he says at the end. Say it again, Dave. Verse 6.
"No one comes to the Father but through me."
Man, how clear cut is that?
That's a slam dunk. Over the top of the defender. Had no chance of blocking it. Thought he did, but he got owned.
Totally got owned. Right. Are there many ways to God? No. Just Jesus.
Yeah, right. And you know, I've said this before, that there are many ways to God, only in the way that you didn't take the same path as I did. But where did we all stop? Where did we bottleneck at Jesus? You know, that doesn't mean that if I'm not Jeff, and I, you know, Jeff's been a pretty good guy his whole life, that doesn't mean that I can't get to God. But, and that doesn't mean that with Jeff not having a lot of the experiences that I have, Jeff can't get to God. That means that we have both lived different, totally lives. But what is the one thing that we did? We all came to the feet of Jesus.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like that analogy about the job, you know, "Hey, where's the committee that I can talk to about getting the job?" The guy says, "I'm the committee."
Right.
Okay. Well, you have to end up with that guy.
Right.
You can't get around that guy. I mean, how did you get to the office for the interview? There's 1,000 roads that can bring you to that office.
Amen.
Right. Maybe you rode on a motorcycle. Maybe you took the bus. Maybe you took a car. Maybe you walked. Maybe you biked. There's 1,000,000 ways you could have gotten to that guy. But ultimately, you're not getting the job unless you go through that guy.
Amen.
I think that's what you're saying, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Even though we have different journeys and different paths. I suppose one thing we want to be careful of when we're talking about there is only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. We don't want anyone to hear there is only one way, and that is through being a conservative white Republican Christian right. in the middle of the United States.
No.
No one is saying that. Right. That's not. We're not talking about political things. We're not talking about economic things. We're not talking about social expectations. We're talking about one thing: faith in Jesus Christ, who died and rose from the dead.
Amen.
Believing that Jesus lived, died, and rose from the dead, that you have sinned, that you've done what's wrong, and you want Jesus to forgive you. This isn't a guilt trip. This isn't a social or political commentary. This is just saying, hey, the only way to find God is through Jesus. A lot of people find that distasteful, though.
Right.
They don't like that there's only one way. Why would God only make one way?
Because maybe he has standards. Well, He has a plan, is what he does, mm-hmm. and that plan is actually read out throughout the entirety of Scripture.
Yeah, you know? Well, that's true, and I like to think of it like this: there's a truth, right? There's only one truth. Let's say someone is debating about whether or not the moon exists.
Okay.
One person says it's cheese. One person says there is no moon, and then we're saying no, there is a moon, and it's made out of rock.
Yeah. Okay. That's no moon. It's a space station. Sorry. Anyway.
and then someone comes up to us and says, you know, why do you think there would be only one way? I kind of find that distasteful.
Right.
Well, it's not about whether it's distasteful. It's about what is reality.
Yes. What is truth.
And maybe you think it's distasteful. Maybe you don't like the idea that God would make only one way. Why would God make only one way? That's a great question. We can discuss that. But you first have to deal with the reality that it looks like God did that.
Right.
That God made only one way. I got lots of questions I'm going to ask God when I see him face to face. God, why didn't you do this? Hey, God, I wish you would have done this. In fact, I was reading an article today by an atheist, and he said, if God was real, he would have... And they made this laundry list of things that he thinks God should have done. And I'm like, that's great for us to think God should have done this. That's nice of us to come up with a list of things God should have done. Mm-hmm. But the reality is we have to accept this world the way it is, this reality. And if God did it this way, then I have to say, well, am I willing to accept that or not?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, that's the reality of it. I can't just say, well, if I were God, I would have done it differently. Therefore, I'm not going to believe in God. Well, that's foolish. Well, if I were God, maybe I would have done it differently, but I have to accept what is presented to me right now. And right now, I only have one guy who's risen from the dead. And that one guy has said he's the only way. And that one guy said there is no other way. And so I have to accept that. I have to deal with that reality and say, man, I'm either coming to Jesus or there's no other way to God.
Right. Amen.
And that's the reality we're facing right now. You know, every single one of us is a sinner. Dave, are you a sinner?
Absolutely. Not that I'm bragging about it, but we talk about truth, right? Truth of the matter is you're a sinner. I'm a sinner.
Yeah. I mean, definitely you've done more wrong than I have. I'm just kidding.
But just a different brand of wrong that he's done.
I've done a lot of wrong. And Jesus Christ paid for our sins.
Amen.
He went to the cross. He died there. He was punished so that you don't have to be punished. So I pray that today you'll accept the reality that Jesus Christ is the only way to God, and that if you want to get to heaven, you have to go through him.
Amen.
All right, Dave, where are we from?
We're from Revolution Church. I think that was the right question, right?
Yeah.
Kansas? Yeah. I'm from Denver.
Where are we from? I'm from Minnesota. All right. No, we're in Salina, Kansas. We're from Revolution Church. Mm-hmm. Get on out to our website.
Revo.church. Or you can go to our show website, which is truthrevolution.tv.
I keep asking him questions with multiple answers.
Yes.
Jesus, Dave, what's the one way to heaven?
Jesus.
Okay, I'm glad you didn't have to think about that one. I'm going to go through these again just to make sure. Where are we from?
Revolution Church in Salina, Kansas.
What's our website?
Truthrevolution.tv.
And?
Or Revo.church.
All right. If you want to go to church, you can go to Revo.church. You can also watch live online at live.revo.church every Sunday morning. Right now, we got 3 service times to choose from, but we hope to see you sometime. Watch live online, coming out in real life. We'd love to meet you.